and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18. The Lord Jesus Christ has been asked before our passage today, why is it that John the Baptist's disciples are fasting all the time, but your disciples do not? They ask that unto Jesus. And Jesus declares, he says, the bridegroom is at hand. There's no need for fasting and mourning. There's going to come a day that that would be the case. Just like you don't take a new piece of cloth and put it in a rend, a tear in a garment, because the new piece taketh away from the old and it just makes the whole thing worse. Or you don't take new wine and put them into old bottles because they don't have the elasticity and they're going to rupture and break and the wine will be lost. And so, it's not appropriate, he tells and declares, for them to mourn and to fast. Now, there's coming a day that they will. Verse number 18 of Matthew 9, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. So this ruler, this man of notoriety there in the city, he comes to the Lord, and he says, hey, My daughter's almost dead, or probably is, but if you'll come and lay your hand on her, she will live. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And so on the way, there's a great press of people, it tells us in other gospels, and that's the reason that we need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get all the entire rounded account of these events and these accounts in the scripture. As a great multitude, they're pressing upon the Lord, and this woman, she knows and has heard about the power of the Lord Jesus, and she said, if I can just touch him, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. The power, the virtue is in him, and I will be healed. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. For she said, but Jesus, verse 22, turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. It tells us in other accounts that the Lord Jesus said, who touched me? And they said, Lord, everybody's touching you. Look at the press of the people that were being jostled around and by the crowd of the people. And you ask who touched you? And the Lord declared that he felt virtue, power go out from him. Here, Matthew just tells us plainly that Jesus, when he knew who she was, he saw her and said, don't fear, be of good comfort, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. You reckon her faith in what she pursued? Her faith in her ability to get to the Lord? No, it's her faith in Christ, in the power and the virtue and the impeccability, the just wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was who her faith was in the Lord Jesus himself. She was made whole from that hour. It tells us in other accounts that this man, this young ruler, Jairus is his name, his little girl is 12 years old. It also tells us that this woman had suffered from this issue of blood for 12 years old. She's seen a lot of doctors, a lot of physicians, spent all of her living, had nothing more that she could spend to try to get the situation fixed. But Jesus heals her instantly. That's the way that Jesus heals. That's the way that Jesus saves. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, The reason they're doing this is these are the professional mourners that have been called in, evidently by the family, because the little girl has died. And so, and that's what the man said, even now she's dead. So he comes in, he said, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And you know, this is very interesting. It's one of many accounts in the scripture that the Lord tells how it is with him, with his power and his ability, being the creator, being the savior, being the judge, being God Almighty, come in the flesh, that death of men, women, boys, and girls is like them sleeping to him. Now, you and I, we know that when our bodies die, they have died, and there's no coming back for our physical bodies. Our soul is made eternal. That's one of the aspects of being made in the image and likeness of God. But when our bodies die, that's it. It's done. There's no changing that. But Jesus says, y'all give place. She's not dead. She sleepeth. Listen. And they laughed him to scorn. They began to hoorah and laugh, carry on, squall. They just, when the little girl's dead, she's dead. There's nobody that comes back from the dead. But when the people were put forth, verse 25, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. He pushes that crowd, gets that crowd out of there. He goes in with her parents. It tells us in other gospels, other accounts that the brethren have written. Goes in there, with Peter and John. And took her by the hand and said, "Maid, arise." It tells us in other accounts. You know what? She arose. You know, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did to me. Not that I was physically dead, no, but I was dead in trespasses and sins. And in 1987, I believe in March of 1987, it was that the Lord Jesus visited me and he said, "Arise." Like he did with Lazarus. "Lazarus, come forth." He saves and he heals. He is God come in the flesh. Emmanuel is his name. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now, if I'm not mistaken, in the other accounts in the Gospels, he told his mother and father and mother, the little girl's father and mother, not to say a word about it, not to say anything. And you know, that's interesting how the Lord Jesus did that. How could someone keep such a thing to themselves? Everybody, the professional mourners have been called in. They've had the death watch, and the little girl drew her last breath, they thought. And she died. She really, really died. It wasn't that she was comatose or anything like that. She had died. And called in the mourners, preparing for the burial and the funeral. And then Jesus raises her from the dead. He gives her life. And now she's back out on the street playing and is seen by her family. She sits on the lap of her loved ones and is hugged and kissed by them, and they hug and kiss her. How do you not say what happened? Now, Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Jesus is deferring at this time all the glory and praise unto the Father. He seeks none for himself. Oh, our Lord Jesus, what is it that the Lord Jesus did for himself when he came and became a man? He did nothing for himself, but he did everything that he did for sinners. Sinners in need of salvation, sinners in need of rescue. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Two blind men. They hear from the crowd that Jesus is at hand, and they cry, "Thou Son of David." What is it that they know about the Lord Jesus? Do they know some of the scripture? Do they know that Jesus is of the tribe of Judah? Do they know that Jesus, that Mary is a descendant of David, "Thou Son of David"? Jesus in his ministry has expressed a love and a care for the people, a love and a care for sinners, a love and a care for the sick and the hurting, and those dead in trespasses and sins. These two blind men, they're crying after him, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." They know that all he's got to do is want to. It's not a question of whether he can or cannot, but all he has to do is want to heal them, and they will be healed. When he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. They come on in, finding their way, being led, maybe using a stick. And Jesus said unto them, "Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this, to make you see?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." They worship him, don't they? They say, "Yea, Lord, yes, Lord, we believe you are able." There's not a doubt in our mind. "Yea, Lord." And he touched, then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Isn't that something? According to your faith in me, he touches their eyes. "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, verse 30, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. So he tells them the same as he did Jairus and his wife and regarding their little girl. Don't tell anybody. Don't you think it's going to be noticed by their friends and their family, their neighbors, that they can see now? Would they leave there and not be able to be so joyed that they could see again? Or maybe they could never see. Maybe they were born that way. We know there's accounts in the scripture of folks being born blind. But they, when they were departed, and I think that this is pretty much the way that it is, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They heard him say, "Don't tell anybody," but you know what? Somebody that's been touched by the Lord Jesus can't help but tell it. Cannot help but tell it. "Jesus healed me. I was blind, but now I see." There's more accounts of that in the scripture, isn't there? How about you? Were you once blind and now able to see because of the Lord Jesus Christ? And understand, I'm not talking about physical eyes. I'm talking about spiritual eyes. I'm talking about faith in the Lord Jesus from the heart. I tell you, if you're under the hearing of my voice and you're not saved, you don't know the free pardon of your sins by the Lord Jesus, by God Almighty, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I implore you, cry out into mercy from the Lord as these men did. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on me, dear Lord. And repent of your sins before God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection for you. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.